Welcome back. Sorry. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm not. I'm Anthony Brooks. And here's how Governor Charlie Baker describes the urgency around the opioid abuse crisis in Massachusetts.
There were three times as many deaths associated with opioid overdoses last year as there were automobile accident deaths. That's really all you need to know to understand that it's in fact a crisis.
Well, Baker spoke yesterday at the fourth and final hearing of a task force that he appointed to study the state's drug abuse problem and to come up with recommendations. This week, the state police reported nearly 220 suspected fatal overdoses in just the first 3 months of this year, a death toll that does not include Boston, Springfield, or Worcester.
The governor's opioid working group includes Attorney General Maura Healey, who was also present at yesterday's hearing, and she joins us. And Attorney General Healey, good to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So a lot of emotion at yesterday's hearing. We heard from people who've lost family members to addiction, who really pleaded for action. What did you hear yesterday that has stuck with you?
Well, it's about that. It's about the personal stories. People so heartbroken and desperate for solutions and for action. And I really admire the people who were able to come forward and tell their personal story, what it's like to live with a brother who's a heroin addict.
Well, let me ask you about one of the things that you focused on, and that's cracking down on doctors and so-called pill mill clinics that illegally prescribe highly addictive pain relief drugs like oxycodone. How big a problem is this?
The vast majority of heroin addicts in our state today started with prescription drug medication. Some of it they came by through lawful prescriptions. Some of it they came by through the black market, pills that are sold on the streets, et cetera. And my point and my focus is that we need to do what we can to ensure safe prescribing practices, safe dispensing practices, so that the right medication is getting in the right hands, isn't going to be diverted to inappropriate uses. We've certainly seen instances where prescribers, there are prescribers out there who are not being and not acting responsibly. I don't think it should be the case that you administer pain medication to somebody, Oxycontin, for example, Percocet, for example, highly addictive pain medication, without asking them some basic questions, such as, are you in recovery? Do you have a history of addiction? Anybody at home in recovery or with a history of addiction? Because we've seen too many instances where it's just been too easy for people to come by prescription drug medication.
Criminal cases against doctors have been very rare. In fact, I was just reading today that according to your office, there have only been two cases since 2012. Does that suggest a real need to pursue this, sort of one prong here in your strategy more aggressively?
Well, this is a multi-pronged strategy, and this is just one piece of it. But, you know, given that 4 out of 5 heroin addicts started with prescription pain medication, it is something that we need to look at and be aggressive about. I have said to the prescribing community, the medical community, you are part of the solution. When I think about some of the amazing work that they do around treatment and recovery, helping people to get off of heroin, for example, we want their best minds, best efforts, and best policies and practices on this. So my office has actually reached out, and we're working to try to make that happen. But it's multi-pronged. This is the only way we're going to get at this disease. We need education for kids as young as 4th or 5th grade. We need education for their parents about how to identify signs of addiction. We need to reduce barriers to accessing treatment and recovery. That means more beds. We heard a lot about that yesterday. It means eliminating some of the barriers that exist in the insurance space. It means advocating for easy access to Narcan for first responders and more than first responders. One of the things I'm looking at is why the price of Narcan has gone up so steeply in the midst of this crisis.
And let me ask you this. I just want to ask you how much just one state can do. And this gets at a big piece of the challenge. And one of the big challenges around the drug crisis is heroin use, as you mentioned, which seems to be surging around the region and across the country. So doesn't that require more cooperation across states, figuring out how to stop smuggling across state borders?
Well,
Well, how do you view this challenge?
It certainly is a piece of the puzzle. I've talked to the Attorney General in New Hampshire. Actually, he and his staff met with me recently, and my team talked to the Attorney General in Rhode Island. We want to focus on how we have a really robust prescription drug monitoring program in place so that we can better monitor who's giving out medication, who's prescribing medication, who's receiving medication, and we're able to know that information and share that information across state lines, because we've seen instances where people doctor shop or pharmacy shop, and having a system that allows for communication and interstate operability is really important. Certainly on trafficking, combating trafficking is really, really important, and you know, that's going to require me to work with colleagues in New York, in Connecticut, and in Vermont, where we've seen a real pipeline of drugs and trafficking up and down, in particular, in I-91 corridor. So you're right, it's part of the puzzle. We need to address this as a regional matter. But still, within our state, there is so much we can do. And that was one thing about yesterday in these hearings. We have heard concrete solutions from people, from families who have lived through this and who are living through this.
I want to ask you about one more question about yesterday's hearing. Some folks there expressed some impatience around this issue. And in fact, you know, former Governor Deval Patrick appointed a task force which made recommendations last year. Now we're waiting for recommendations from another task force under Governor Baker. Are you confident that this will lead to real measures that will make a difference?
People should be impatient. They absolutely should be impatient. People have been dealing with this for a long time now. But I know we're impatient. Governor Baker and his staff and administration are impatient. And I know that concrete results are going to come out of this effort. I give great credit to the governor and his administration for appointing this working group and setting a May date for recommendations. I know that within my own office, I've made a priority, and there are a lot of steps we're taking across various divisions and bureaus in the office to get at this issue. So, you know, people are absolutely right to be impatient, and it's a call to action that I think we've heard loud and clear, and we're certainly ready to act on.
All right, Attorney General Maura Healey, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
When we come back, Session Americana joins us and performs live in our studio. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.